Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 15. And we're going to look at the bread of life tonight. The bread of life. And I'm going to read you a verse in Jeremiah chapter 15 that you all know. And you've heard many times, I'm sure. And we're going to look at verse 16. Where the scripture says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Here Jeremiah said that thy words were found, and I did eat them. To eat the Word of God, to eat the Word of God is a Hebrew idiom. It's a Hebrew idiom which means receiving knowledge. That's the idiom's meaning. Eating or drinking the Word of God, it's the receiving of knowledge. We sometimes idiomatically use the word digest in our vernacular. For considering what we have learned or what we have heard. Let me think on this, or let me digest this for a while. Okay? It means we're going to ponder it. It's not that we're physically or literally eating something or digesting it, but it's a figure of speech that says we're going to ponder it or meditate upon it. This idiom for eating and drinking in the scriptures, receiving knowledge. It says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." Now, you can receive knowledge several ways. This particular context, when scrolls were found, and he took it and he read it, because they had been lost or misplaced, and then he read it and he ate the word. But you could also receive knowledge and eat the word by receiving revelation from God. Okay? So it could be something you could read, or it could be something you could receive by revelation or some other way, depending in the context and the usage of the word and the sentence. Jeremiah ate so he could receive. And he did this so he could then speak God's word. This is a common Hebrew expression with regards to knowledge. Eating and drinking in this context suggests receiving and understanding the word. Receiving and understanding the word. Associated also with eating or drinking was the idea of enjoyment. He enjoyed it. The word says, "The word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." It was a joy to him. It was a joy and a rejoicing to Jeremiah's heart. Now let's go to Ezekiel chapter 2. So eating the word, it's an idiom, Hebrew idiom, for receiving knowledge. Receiving knowledge. Sometimes when they talk about eating and drinking, it's talking about eating, receiving, and understanding. Ezekiel chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, this is God speaking to Ezekiel. "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. they and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are an impudent children and stiff-hearted. In other words, they're hard of face, impudent means. And I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. Verse 5. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, their briars or their thorns be with thee. And thou thus dwellest among the scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Anytime that God would commission someone to do a work, you know, especially that of a prophet, you think you get a lot of this rebellion against you from the congregation today, but nothing like what these guys were in the olden days, I'm sure. Now, maybe so, who knows. But it's a difficult thing because not everybody's on the prophet's side. Not everybody's on the person speaking for God's side. And people will look at you and they'll sit there and you know, you'll have the real intellectual ones look down their nose at you. And then you'll have the real cocky and sarcastic ones roll their eyes at you. And then you'll have, you know, the other group who's thinking about when the football game's going to start, et cetera, et cetera. But he told Ezekiel, don't worry about this. He said in verse 7, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Doesn't matter with regards to their response. Ezekiel was to speak the word. That was the deal. How the people responded was their business, but Ezekiel was to speak the word. But thou, son of man, verse 8, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. See, so he's telling Ezekiel, he said, listen, I know all about them, but don't you be like them. If you're the only one that's going to listen, if you're the only one that's going to stand for me and speak for me, don't you be like them. You open your mouth and eat that which I give thee. Now, you know, God wasn't going to spiritually reach down and give them a cheeseburger. What was God going to give them? He was going to give them knowledge. He was going to give them his word. And he told Ezekiel to eat that. Again, you see the Hebrew idiom for receiving knowledge. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, or a scroll. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written there lamentations and mournings and woe. Lamentations and mournings and woe. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of what? Okay, again, you see, he's telling him to eat, but it's a figure of speech, it's the idiom. Read, understand what I'm giving you. And then after you read and understand what I'm giving you, go and what? Speak the word, speak the word. So I opened my mouth, verse 2, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with them the words, my words unto them. My words unto them. He caused him to eat. And it says, when he did eat, it was in his mouth, and the word was like honey unto him. Was like honey unto him. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. You know what? Let's hold up on 1 Corinthians. Scoot over to Psalm. We'll go to 1 Corinthians in a minute. Let me stay with that thought for a second. We read in Ezekiel, then I did eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Look at verse 9. Just to give you some of the context. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, they much fine gold, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Proverbs 24. Again, indicating that God and the knowledge of God, once you find that, the judgments of God, the fear of God, etc., it's sweet like a honeycomb. Now, you don't physically taste it, but it's a figure. Proverbs 24, verse 13. My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. Eat thou honey, because it's good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste, so shall the knowledge of what? Wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, there will be a reward. Expectation shall be not cut off. So shall knowledge be. Knowledge shall be, knowledge of wisdom be like what? Sweet as the honeycomb, sweet to your taste. Here again, you see that knowledge is identified with eating. All right. Look at 1 Corinthians now. Chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to what? Drink into one spirit. Drink into one spirit. Drinking here signifies receiving and understanding that which we have, namely the Spirit. That's what it means, to drink. Eating and drinking, again, a Hebrew idiom meaning receiving knowledge, understanding, digesting, this sort of thing. Now, it's a figure of speech, and the one of the particular figures that it is called metonymy. It's the figure metonymy. Now, the figure metonymy is defined by Webster as a figure of speech in which an attribute of something is used to stand for the thing itself. An example would be laurels when it stands for glory, or brass when it stands for a military officer. Here comes the brass. Okay, it's talking about a military officer because of the brass that they wear. It's an attribute which signifies it's them. It's talking about them. Metonymy is a change of noun. It's a change of noun. When one name or noun is used instead of the other to which it stands into a certain relationship with. So, brass, military officer. It's just a change. Now, Revelation chapter 10. Now, this is the revelation that John saw, and God told him to take and write this revelation down. In Revelation 10, verse 8, it says, "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth," or the little scroll. "And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little scroll. And he said unto me, Take it, and what? Eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but in thy mouth it shall be sweet as what? Honey. See, in Ezekiel 3, the word was sweet unto him. But when he went to speak it to Israel, it was then bitter. I think it was in verse 14, which we didn't read. If you want to read the rest of 3, we'll tell you that. Here in Revelation, again, we see the Hebrew idiom of take it and eat it up. Take it and eat it up. We see it's talking about receiving and understanding the revelation of John 8. But here in Revelation, it's not a literal book, a scroll like Jeremiah found. It's revelation. It's revelation. In other words, it wasn't written yet. John's the one who did the writing of it. So you see that the eating could refer to something written or something given by God. Now, it was sweet in his mouth, but it was bitter in his belly. And in this particular context, the sweetness represents Israel's prayers that they prayed to God night and day, that they were soon going to be answered. They were soon going to be answered. But the bitterness in his belly represented the coming judgment and destruction on how they were going to be answered reigned upon the earth. That's what the understanding of this is. The sweetness was the prayers were finally going to be answered for Israel. But the bitterness was how God was going to answer the prayers, the judgment sent upon the earth. All right, now let's go to John chapter 6. Now there's many other places that you can go into scriptures to see this truth that I'm showing you. Okay? That's one that comes to my mind if I could find it. Hold your finger in John 6. Let's go to Exodus 24. This is Moses called up to the mountain. And I haven't figured all this stuff out yet, but in Exodus 24, verse 8, it says, "Then Moses took the blood and sprinkled it upon the people and said, Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel." Verse 10, look at this. "And they saw the God of Israel." They saw the God of Israel. Who saw the God of Israel? Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders. and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, as a body of heaven in his clearness. Now, you all know that an angel or angels have appeared throughout the scriptures of men, as men. You don't have a problem with that, right? You all know that. Sodom and Gomorrah, wrestling with Jacob on the ladder, etc., etc., etc. There's many places in the Word of God where an angel will come into manifestation in the form of a man and communicate with man, correct? Okay, here the scripture says in verse 10, that they saw the God of Israel, and they were under his feet, his feet. So here you see that God and what they saw of God, that God was in the manifestation of a person. It was under his feet, and this isn't figurative, because you can go and work it throughout the Old Testament and see where there are other times where God manifests himself as a person. As a person. Now, and again, you don't have a problem with believing this about an angel. Is it not conceivable that God Almighty could do the same? Now, that doesn't mean that God is this, that, or the other thing. It just means that he has the ability to present himself in such a way. Now, verse 11, and upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his what? His hand. Also, they what? Saw God. They saw God. That's what it says. They saw God. And did eat and what? Drink. Now, do you think they sat down and had a meal with the Almighty? No, it's a figure of speech. It's the Hebrew idiom. It means that they received knowledge. They got the knowledge and they understood. That's what the idiom means. They saw God and they ate and drank. They ate and drank the knowledge. They understood the knowledge. Now go to John chapter 6. And there's others in there you can find. John 6 verse 47. Whatever God manifested himself as, that individual, what they saw is that's how they saw him. That's how they saw him. Now, I don't know that they saw him up close or whatever and they were far away, but whatever they saw that. In John chapter 6, verse 47, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Okay, so what's Jesus Christ talking about? Believing and everlasting life. Himself, right? Verse 48. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat, his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, Let me ask you a question. How did an individual get saved in the gospel period? What was the conditions under that administration for salvation? They had a what? Believe on Jesus Christ and continue to stay faithful and do the word, etc., etc., right? Their salvation was conditional, in other words. It wasn't by seed. They weren't born again. They could lose their salvation. But as long as they stayed faithful to the word of God and they stayed faithful in their believing on Jesus Christ, they would be saved in that administration. Now look at John chapter 3. Verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal what? Life. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. So in order to receive eternal life, you must what? Believe in Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says, right? Now watch. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what's the next word? Believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So in verse 16, we read that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you receive what? Everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Again, it's believing on Jesus Christ, and if you believe on Jesus Christ, you're not what? Condemned. In other words, you have this eternal life. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Again, the word believe. He that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not, what? Believed. Third time in that verse. In the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, according to John, in chapter 3, how did a person get saved during the gospel administration? They believed on who? Jesus Christ. Three times in the affirmative and two times in the negative, this point in these verses is taught. Verse 15, whosoever believeth, number one, in him should not perish but have eternal life. Number two, verse 16, God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believeth, not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, in the negative, is what? Condemned, because he had not believed, again in the negative, in the only begotten Son of God. So according to the scripture, to receive eternal life, to receive everlasting life in this administration, out of the mouth of Jesus Christ himself, you must do what? Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? When you do that, the product of that believing is what? Salvation. Salvation. Now go back to John 6. Look at verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So whatever it is to eat the flesh of Jesus Christ and to drink the blood of Jesus Christ, whatever that is equal to eternal life and a resurrection in the last day. That's what it produces. That's what it says, right? But we already saw in John 3 and other places that if you believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, you're going to get what? Eternal life. What does it mean to eat the flesh and drink the blood of Jesus Christ? Simply put, it means to believe in Him. Because eating and drinking meant to receive His teaching, His knowledge, and to digest it. And to believe meant to understand what? That He was the Messiah. That's how simple it is. That's how simple it is. The words flesh and blood are also the figure of speech synecdoche, in which the word for part of something is used to represent the whole. In this case, it's talking about the whole person. Flesh is put as a part to represent the whole. He's speaking of Jesus Christ. And blood is put as a part to represent the whole, speaking of Jesus Christ. Now look at Matthew chapter 26, and I'll show you something you didn't know. Maybe you didn't know that, but I'm going to show you something else. Because it's the Hebrew idiom, to eat and to drink. It means to receive knowledge. It means to understand. Now everybody knows, let's think about this. Eating and drinking on the surface, flesh and blood, you know it's a figure. Okay? And it's not talking about Holy Communion. It's not talking about the Eucharist here. Because they knew nothing of the Eucharist at this point in time in John 6, because it wasn't instituted yet. And number two, you know a lot of people that can eat and drink, partake of Holy Communion, but they don't receive eternal life that way, do they? The result is what? Eternal life. See, it's just like me saying, born again of incorruptible seed, and then I go to Romans 10, 9, and 10. It means the same thing, the same result. It's confessing Jesus as Lord, believing God had raised Him from the dead. Just a different way of stating the truth. Matthew 26, look at verse 26. And as they were eating, here they were literally eating, they were at a meal. Jesus took bread and blessed it, and He broke it, and He gave unto His disciples, and He said, take, eat, this is My body. And He took the cup, and He gave thanks, and He gave it to all of them, and He said what? Drink ye all of it. Now go to 1 Corinthians 11. Because there was a dual significance in what He did. They literally did eat, and they literally did drink. But there was a greater truth that He was teaching them. Because just eating and drinking of the memorial doesn't get the job done, does it? You got to what? Yeah, believe. And before you can believe, you got to what? Right, you got to know. You got to know. Not only do you have to know, you have to understand. Why? Because I said so? No. Show it to you in the Scripture. 1 Corinthians 11, 24. And when He had given thanks, He brake it. And He said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. What's the last words in the verse? Do this in what? How can you do something in remembrance of somebody if you don't first have that knowledge to begin with? You see? To eat and drink, that idiom, meant to receive the knowledge and to understand it to the end that you believed it. Yes, did they eat and drink? Yes. But they weren't to eat and drink just like that. They were to eat and drink in remembrance of Him. In remembrance of what? In remembrance of His teaching. They were to receive the teaching that He gave. They were to understand the teaching that He gave. They were to believe the teaching that He gave. And when they did that, when they commemorated this communion, they did that accurately in remembrance of Him. Verse 25, after the same manner, He took the cup, and after He supped, He said, this cup is in New Testament in My blood. As often as you do it in what? Remembrance of Me. Again, they did literally drink, but there was a greater truth. They were drinking in the knowledge of God. They were drinking in the knowledge of what Jesus Christ had done. They were understanding. They were receiving his teaching. They were understanding his teaching. They were believing him. And then when they did this in remembrance of all of this, what he did for them. See, in order to have a remembrance, you first must have a knowledge and understanding of the one that you're going to remember so you can believe. And that is the great depth of the word with regards to eating and drinking in John 6 and in the Holy Communion that the scriptures teach for those who have eyes that want to see. But it's there and it's true. Did they eat and did they drink? Absolutely. But it's just like someone walking up saying, you say Jesus is Lord. Jesus, you believe it. Anybody can say that. That doesn't get you to heaven though, does it? The mere fact of going through the motions doesn't get you to heaven. The mere fact of eating and drinking of the communion doesn't get the job done. It's the eating and drinking, the knowledge, the understanding, the belief and faith in your heart that you receive that with, commemorating that communion in light of that, that's what gets the job done. And that's what it is to eat and drink spiritually. And that's when he's talking about in John 6, eat my flesh, drink my blood. I don't mean that. It means understand. I give you this knowledge. Understand it. Accept it. Believe it. Because it's the believing in other places we saw that produces eternal life. Eating the flesh and drinking the blood is synonymous with just believing the teaching of Messiah, receiving it, and accepting it. Okay? That's what it means. That's what it says. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for continuing to bless us and teach us. And thanks, Father, that we too can eat and drink your word to the end that we believe and act accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen.